Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, January 10th, 2016. On ProWrestling.net today, WWE's official press release regarding WrestleMania 34 with venue notes on where Raw, SmackDown, NXT TakeOver, the Hall of Fame, and WrestleMania Access will be held, plus the latest on the Royal Rumble pay-per-view as far as the lineup is concerned, TNA Impact TV taping spoilers from Sunday night's newsworthy show, and we should have the Raw viewership and ratings information available a little bit later on today. Coming up after the break for non-members, we will discuss tonight's WWE SmackDown live television show, 205 Live, last night's Raw, and instead of giving some bonus thoughts on Raw, I'm going to give you some bonus thoughts on the Royal Rumble match. WWE SmackDown Live features John Cena against Baron Corbin in a match that I am anxious to see. This is definitely the biggest match of Corbin's young career, and WWE obviously has some high hopes for him, and so I'm looking forward to seeing how he does in a match against arguably their top star, John Cena. The show is also going to feature American Alpha defending the SmackDown tag titles against the Wyatt family. The Wyatt family, the story is that they are invoking their rematch clause. We'll see which two members of the Wyatt family it turns out to be. Plus, they are also advertising Nikki Bella against Natalya. We'll see if Natalya stops mid-match to let everyone know that she thinks Nikki Bella is beautiful, which seems to be something that she has to say in each and every promo that she cuts, even though she hates Nikki Bella. SmackDown, all joking aside, continues to be WWE's best weekly television show, certainly the most consistent television show. Jake Barnett will have you guys covered with live coverage at ProWrestling.net as the show airs on USA Network at 7 Central, 8 Eastern Time. Meanwhile, 205 Live, headlined by Rich Swann, returning after a brief hiatus to sell an attack by Neville. The Cruiserweight Champion is going to face Tony Nese in what appears to be a non-title match, because what has Tony Nese done to earn a title match? Plus, they're advertising Cedric Alexander against Noam Dar, and we will see a parlay between Jack Gallagher and Arya Daivari. WWE already attempting to recreate the fun of the duel. We'll see what they have in mind for the parlay. They just, really, though, continue to lie through their teeth when they talk about 205 Live being the most exciting hour in television. You can tell that the people that are asked to say this don't believe it. And it's not as bad as calling, like, the initial version of NXT the next evolution of in television, as Vince McMahon once did. But 205 Live is really just sort of there. I mean, you kind of tune in for Neville or Jack Gallagher. Maybe you like Austin Aries or just the overall broadcast team. But there's really nothing newsworthy that happens. They don't really do a good job of leaving you anxious to see the next edition. I really want to like 205 Live, and it's just, it's not an insulting show. I don't hate myself for watching it when it's over. It's just not very exciting, and I hope they do something to spice things up a little bit. That said, you can join me tonight after SmackDown for my live review of 205 Live as the show airs. .net members are listening to my full audio review of last night's WWE Raw, plus the 50-plus minute edition of the Q&A audio show, where I answer their pro wrestling questions to start, and we have some fun on the back end with the non-wrestling questions of the week. You can join us on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net by signing up for membership via the sign-up page on the main page. Once you're in there, three different pricing options available. $7.50 will get you in the door for 1 month. You want to save some money, try the six-month option or the annual option. As I always like to remind you, the annual option brings that price down to an average of $5.50 a month, so you're saving $2 per month when you go annual for ProWrestling.net membership. It's also worth noting that over the weekend, Sunday and Monday, actually, we had a special two-part edition of the British Invasion podcast, where our UK staffers Hayden Gleed and Darren Gutteridge get together, and this time they discussed three different Progress Wrestling shows. I think it was episodes 39 through 41. They also discussed the UK title tournament that WWE is doing this weekend. You can join me for live coverage of that, and all sorts of things regarding the British pro wrestling scene. So if you are into the British pro wrestling scene, or maybe you want to learn more about it, the guys do a great job of keeping everybody up to speed on that. So be sure to check that out on the member side of things. And as always, if you ever have any questions about membership or anything else site-related, you can always email me at dotnetjason@gmail.com or reach out to me on Twitter, at ProWrestlingNet. Let's get into the WWE Raw hit list, as we like to do on Tuesdays. We've kind of fallen out of the format with the holidays, but let's get back on track with that. We'll start with the hits. Undertaker announces he is in the Royal Rumble match. This was the highlight of the night, with Undertaker's entrance taking just long enough to get the College Football National Championship game to halftime, meaning WWE probably peaked in viewership at just the right time for Taker to make his announcement. His lines about going where he wants, when he wants, was likely his way of addressing why he appeared on Raw when he's a SmackDown wrestler, and that backstage shot of Braun Strowman watching him may have been a teaser for a WrestleMania match. Taker looked great, and his involvement in what is an absolutely loaded Rumble match actually made the match feel even more must-see than it already did. And again, I'll be talking about the loaded Rumble match coming up in the bonus thoughts section here after the hit list. The next hit is Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman. Rollins has joined Sami Zayn in doing a terrific job of carrying Strowman to quality matches. Strowman isn't the most athletic big man, but they're putting him in with the right opponents, and he's doing a good job of holding up his end. The finish was wise, given that they clearly want to protect Rollins, and Monster Strowman just should not be losing clean to anyone before WrestleMania, if even then. The next hit is Charlotte and Nia Jax against Bayley and Sasha Banks. It was an odd finish, with Bayley losing, despite the fact that she is challenging for the women's title at the Royal Rumble, and Sasha had a built-in excuse with her knee injury. One can only assume that Bayley will be made to look strong over the next couple of weeks, as there's currently zero buzz for her title shot at the Rumble. Meanwhile, I couldn't really tell whether they're setting up a four-way for WrestleMania between these women, or if they're teasing us with Sasha and Stephanie in some sort of a storyline that could lead to a Mania match. The final hit is Neville against Lindsay Dorado, and it's a miter hit for Neville continuing to be the best thing going in the poorly presented cruiserweight division. It's hard to tell whether Neville is changing up his finisher on a regular basis or simply just searching for the right one, but I do appreciate the fact that he's not performing the crowd-pleasing Red Arrow finisher now that he's a heel. The Rings of Saturn was a great choice, and I actually hope that one sticks if he's looking for a permanent finisher. Let's get into the misses now, and we actually start with next show hype. WWE has 3 hours to work with on Mondays. They usually have plenty of time for recap videos and even filler matches and segments. So why is it that last week they were only able to find a matter of seconds to promote the returns of Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, and last night they found even less time to promote Brock Lesnar's return for next week's show? WWE dedicated more time to promoting 205 Live matches before they essentially snuck in the Lesnar plug. I normally wonder how many viewers miss these plugs if they're out of the room or even just distracted for a matter of seconds. Last night, WWE was opposed by the College Football National Championship game, so surely plenty of people who were flipping channels missed out on this. Yes, they can use social media throughout the week, but they would get so much more out of directly advertising to the viewing audience while also making a bigger fuss out of what's coming next week so that it actually feels important rather than just something that they merely find worthy of a brief plug. The next miss is Roman Reigns against Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens in a handicap for the U.S. Championship. Reigns feuding with Jericho and Owens has just passed its expiration point. It doesn't help that this was slotted as the main event of a 3-hour marathon, but the match felt like it was just more of the same, despite the fact that it concluded with a title change. Whether Jericho cares or the belt is just a prop to him at this point in his career, it was cool to see him win the only major title that he was somehow never booked to win. That said, I was actually hoping that Kevin Owens would take the title to create some friction between the two of them. The next miss is Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie threatened Mick Foley's job took priority over delivering strong hype for Undertaker's appearance. The issues between Stephanie and Foley seemed unnecessary, and Stephanie seemed to spend the evening performing a low-rent impersonation of her father's Mr. McMahon character. The next miss is Shawn Michaels and Rusev. As fun as it can be to daydream about HBK returning at the Royal Rumble, I don't think many fans really expected that to occur. The real issue with this was that it was just too lighthearted. Michaels and Rusev came off like two guys who were more worried about amusing themselves than the crowd. There was no believable tension between them, and it seemed like they were just out there having fun rather than trying to come off as believable. The next miss is Jack Gallagher against Drew Gulak. This was the first time a Gallagher match segment just felt repetitive. It really didn't have anything fresh from him as far as moveset is concerned, and his tease for the parlay with Arya Daivari just felt like a half-assed attempt to recreate the fun of the duel. The next miss is Big Cass against Jinder Mahal. The bad Shawn Michaels appearance led to a match that looked terrible on paper and was somehow even worse in execution. The East River Crossing setup to the Empire Elbow finisher was downright awful. I don't know which wrestler was to blame, but it's not the first time that we've seen this move botched. The next miss is New Day and Titus O'Neil. Anything that reminds me of the horrible physical challenge era of NXT is automatically a miss. WWE has an army of writers, yet the only thing they could come up with for New Day post-title reign was a feud with Titus O'Neil. And the final miss of the show is Sheamus and Luke Gallows. And it's a minor miss for Gallows losing the match despite having a distraction excuse. If WWE wants viewers to see Gallows and Karl Anderson as threats, they need to push them consistently as ass kickers. Trading singles wins and losses with the new tag team champions isn't going to cut it. All right, I promised some bonus thoughts on the Royal Rumble match itself, and let's get into it. I mean, so far the advertised entrants are Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, Kofi Kingston, Big E, Xavier Woods, Braun Strowman, Chris Jericho, Baron Corbin, Seth Rollins, and Undertaker. Now, that's 10 of the 30 wrestlers who are going to be in the match this year. And my guess at this point is that the winner of the match has already been announced. And, you know, the nice thing, though, I don't have a strong feeling about who is going to win. And I can kind of probably talk my way through this, and maybe I'll come up with a couple of names. But let's kind of look at some of the potential scenarios. And I think it helps explain... I think people out there listening, well, I think so-and-so is going to win. It may seem obvious to them, and maybe I'm missing something. I think there are, you know, bound to be a couple of favorites, but Undertaker entering, he could easily win, challenge the winner of AJ Styles against John Cena. Braun Strowman could win, challenge Roman Reigns for the Universal title if Reigns wins it at the Rumble. Chris Jericho could win and challenge his buddy Kevin Owens for the Universal title if Owens retains the championship. And I don't think that's as likely to happen. I did have Jericho as a favorite going in, you know, a couple of weeks ago even. But now that he won the U.S. title, I think we all kind of suspect that, yeah, Kevin Owens is going to drop that Universal Championship sooner rather than later. And then end up facing Jericho for that U.S. Championship at the pay-per-view. Worth noting, as I mentioned to members last night in Raw Audio, Chris Jericho's band Fozzy popping up on some summer festival lineups. So the earliest one I've seen so far is late May, so it's not like he can't be around for WrestleMania, but I don't see him being around much longer than that. So maybe they feel like it's just too obvious that he wouldn't retain. I don't know. He wouldn't win the Universal Championship. I think it's more likely they want their guy, Roman Reigns, to be in a big key match. But I do believe Brock Lesnar and Goldberg will end up eliminating one another to set up their rematch at WrestleMania. But who's to say they can't go with Goldberg against Reigns, which they kind of teased something between those two on last week's show. Or even Brock against Reigns. We never got the definitive finish to that match. And that was a match that they wanted to go back to last year. Plans changed. Because if you recall, when they met one another, it was Seth Rollins cashing in Money in the Bank. And that's how they got out of giving us a finish to that match. So I assume someday we're going to get back to it. I don't know that it's going to be this WrestleMania. But hell, they could even have a triple threat. You know, one way to have Goldberg work a longer match is, to have him in a triple threat where he really doesn't do a whole lot of the work. And so keep that in mind. It seems like a long shot, but never say never. I can't really say I see a scenario where New Day or Baron Corbin, or even Seth Rollins win. I guess my favorites at this point would be Undertaker and Braun Strowman of the 10 wrestlers advertised. But, I mean, there's also a scenario where they face one another at WrestleMania and there's not a title involved. I mean, they showed Braun Strowman watching Undertaker's promo on Raw last night. And I think we're all like, oh, are they going to Mania with that? That was my reaction. Are they also setting up the final two in the Rumble, perhaps? And maybe Taker wins by eliminating Strowman that way. Or I guess, you know, the opposite could be true. But those are my favorites now. But I think the winner has already been announced, can't rule out Finn Balor. I don't know if he's going to be back in time. It doesn't seem like he's on the verge of returning. But he's the one name that's kind of jumps out as a long shot here. I mean, if he's healthy, it's a different story, but I just don't know that he is, with him seeming like he's doing some other things at this point, and just doesn't seem like they're really working toward him returning. He was advertised for the December pay-per-view, and that didn't happen. He ended up appearing on a show in Ireland, an independent event, the night before instead. I don't know why they left him advertised for that December pay-per-view. Was it Roadblock, I guess it was? End of the Line, that's the one. They left him advertised on the Arena website for so long. So I don't think he's going to be back, but if he is, you have to keep in mind that he was a guy that didn't lose a title. He won it, had to forfeit it the next night, so they could do something there. The reason I don't see Rollins as a favorite right now is because I think they've already kind of shown their cards there. It's going to be Rollins and Triple H. So yeah, at this point, I think Taker and Strowman jump out as the favorites, but again, I don't feel like it's just a slam dunk, and I love that this Rumble match has so much star power. I think it's great. You know, I don't see New Day realistically being players. I'd be surprised if Baron Corbin won it, but, you know, they are playing up the fact that, hey, in his first main roster match, he won the Dre, he won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, so it, you know, makes him a contender, and with him facing Cena tonight, who knows what they're going to do? You know, what they're going to do between now and the Rumble and even Mania as far as making Baron Corbin look like a player. So he's a real long shot to me. But so many of the other guys in this are stars. You know, and we might be breaking it down. The more casual viewer, you know, they might not be thinking about Rollins and Hunter as much as we are, thinking it's a lock and that, you know, Rollins can tell the story. I thought maybe they're just going to shy away from it. And they did last night. But they can have Rollins say, you know, he said in order to get Triple H in the ring, he had to win the championship. And I don't know that they'll go there. My guess, they just kind of lay low on Rollins talking about Hunter for now. But yeah, a lot of names, and there were some interesting scenarios, and I think it's going to be a very interesting Royal Rumble. And my big hope, as is usual with the Rumble and even some of WWE's bigger matches, is that WWE doesn't blow this by foreshadowing the hell out of the winner. They have a tendency of doing that. So right now it kind of feels fun and it's up in the air a little bit. You may have your favorite, but I don't think you feel like it's a 100% lock as we do some years where it's just obvious what they're going with at WrestleMania. And, you know, I hope they don't blow it. I think part of the fun, too, is whether you like the brand split or not, and I think most people seem to approve of it. I do, as far as just being entertained by it. It kind of went in kicking and screaming, but here we are. SmackDown's a lot of fun, and Raw's a complete hot mess, but it's the fact that there's two championships at stake. I wish they would kind of define which champion, you know, does a SmackDown wrestler have to go after the SmackDown championship, or can he go after the Universal Championship? And if he does he become Raw property, or does the title go to SmackDown? And I don't really want to see it be, well, the title goes to SmackDown. That's lame. You know, I don't. Then you start, you make it a little more predictable in most cases where people start going, they're not going to move so-and-so. They're not going to have two titles on one brand, that sort of a thing. So I don't want to see that. Now, the alternative is that you have the other title also between Raw and SmackDown wrestlers. But even at WrestleMania, you know, the less they do crossover, the more they pay attention to their own brand split rumors, the better as far as I'm concerned. But we'll have a lot of time to talk about the Royal Rumble here in the weeks ahead. I just wanted to kind of chime in now that we have 10 wrestlers in the Rumble and with, again, major star power. But finally today, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. If you could, take a moment to rate and review us on iTunes. It helps out tremendously when it comes to spreading the word about this. And a big thanks to everybody when I put the link out there on Twitter for the simple retweet. A lot of you guys do that. However you're helping spread the word about the site, it is greatly appreciated. And I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Until next time, take care.